everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sunshine notice, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Mayor. Board of Commissioners, public meeting, Tuesday, July 1st, 2025. The time is 7:04. Pursuant to the requirements of the Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Public Law 1975, notice of this meeting was published in the November 21st, 2024 issues of the Nutley Sun, the Herald News, and the Star Ledger. A copy of this notice has been posted on the Nutley Town Hall Bulletin Board, and a copy is on file in the Municipal Clerk's Office. Commissioner Evans.
Here.
Commissioner Tucci.
Here.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Here.
Commissioner Petracco.
Here.
Mayor Kelly.
Present.
All present, Mayor.
Thank you. Minutes, please.
Yes, we have Board of Commissioner meeting minutes for June 3rd, 2025. Need a motion?
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
And that's it for minutes, Mayor.
Thank you. Communications, please.
The John H. Water Middle School has submitted a Sunday letter for permission to hold an off-premise 50-50 cash raffle on Sunday, December 7, 2025, from 5:30 p.m. At 5:30 p.m. at 325 Franklin Avenue. I need a motion, please.
Move it.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
That's it for communications.
Thank you. Bills, please.
Bill is for July 1st, 2025. Public Affairs, $146,463.42. Revenue and Finance, $3,629,552.97. Public Safety, $331,607.51. Public Works, $226,620.36. Parks and Public Property, $1,034,114.81. Water and Sewer Utility, $46,197.01. Payroll as of June 20th, 2025. Regular payroll total, $1,192,622.85. Overtime payroll total, $87,503.22. Total payroll, $1,280,126.07. For a grand total of $6,694,682.15.
Move the bills.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
And that's it for bills, Mayor.
Thank you. At this time, we're going to take the agenda a little bit out of order, and I'll turn it over to Commissioner Tucci for resolution number 17625.
Thank you, Mayor. Before I offer this resolution, we've just learned that Kevin Smite's mom has passed away. So if we could have a moment of silence for her. Thank you. I offer this resolution. I'm reading it, but this is on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners. Because we are all equally proud of the accomplishments of our crew team. And it's just it's another day to celebrate Nutley. So having said that, whereas the Nutley High School rowing program was founded in 1942 under Coach Bill Bennett, has a long-standing tradition of excellence, and whereas the current boathouse shared with Belleville and Kearney supports both boys and girls rowing programs, and whereas the 2025 Nutley crew team, guided by coaches Kevin Smite, Anthony Scarpelli, Jill DeVilio, Gianna Marie Padilla, and Megan Callahan, included 51 student athletes, 12 graduating seniors, and achieved the most successful season of the program's history. Whereas at the New Jersey State Championships, Nutley earned 5 medals, 3 of them gold, marking the program's first ever state champion titles in the girls' junior double, girls' novice 4, and boys' novice 4, with additional medals in the girls' freshman 8 and boys' lightweight double. And whereas at the Philadelphia Scholarship Rowing Association champions and cities. Nutley claimed four grand finalist finishes, including gold in the boys' lightweight double and bronze in the girls' novice four. And whereas at the Stotesbury Cup Regatta, the largest high school rowing event in the world, the boys' lightweight double earned bronze, the girls' freshman eight placed sixth in the grand final, and two additional boats finished in the national top 20. And whereas three boats qualified for the Scholastic Rowing Association of America National Championships, with the boys' lightweight double earning bronze and becoming the first Nutley crew to medal at all four major championship regattas, state, cities, Stotesbury's, and national. And whereas Nutley crew also captured the Battle of the Boathouse Championship, a competition among Nutley, Belleville, and Kearney for the fourth consecutive year, winning 8 out of 9 girls' races. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley and the County of Essex and State of New Jersey proudly recognizes and congratulates the Nutley High School crew team and their coaches for an extraordinary 2025 season. I proudly move this resolution.
I need a motion.
Move it.
I move it. Second.
Second.
Mr. Evans?
Aye, but before I do, I'll offer a couple of comments. I'm a former oarsman, so if you go back and you look back in history to 1969-73 time frame, you'll see pictures of my brother and I. We rode on the crew team. What I, listening to this, and I was reflecting on the it's really hard to appreciate what this achievement is all about. Having actually rowed in those regattas, I know how hard they are and the schools that you're up against. So I think it's a wonderful achievement, but what's even more wonderful about it is not only did you do it once, you did it multiple times. So I offer my congratulations to all of you, especially the girls. Go girls.
Mr. Tucci?
Yes, I am also a crew parent. Two of my four children participated for 4 years each under Coach Smythe and the Coach Scarpelli and all of the people that were there at the time. They did an outstanding job. It builds camaraderie. It builds commitment in youngsters. And the work that they do there, as Commissioner Evans has already stated, is very grueling. All right, you would think, crew, what's crew? If rowing, just get on the water and just row a little bit? No, it takes a lot of training, a lot of competition, and you really need to be ready. So I am so very proud to vote aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
It's not true that Commissioner Evans also rode across the Delaware with General Washington, just so you know. It's a proud moment. I, too, am a former crew parent, getting up early in the morning and cooking breakfast. And really, it does, as Commissioner Tucci said, a sense of camaraderie that doesn't happen in all sports. And so congratulations to you, congratulations to your coaches, congratulations to your parents who put in a lot of time and effort on your behalf. So give them a hand.
Commissioner Petracco?
Yes, I would like to say way to go with everybody, or way to row. And it's really a team sport. I know back in the day, Petracco's deli did a lot of supporting and catering for the row team, and I know that you guys were up at 3 o'clock in the morning because I had to be at the store at 4 a.m. So my hats off to the parents. Great job. I always say the people that you're sitting next to today, you guys will be friends for the rest of your life. So remember that, and you made Nutley proud again. Thank you.
Mayor Kelly?
Thank you. I too will be voting aye, but I do want to add my own comments. A couple of years ago, probably like 10 years ago, I was working out with a friend, and I consider myself to be a guy in pretty decent shape. And he said, well, let's go do the erg. I was like, what's an erg? I soon found out it was the rowing machine, and I was quickly humbled. That is one of the most difficult workouts I've ever had to do. So you guys are probably in the best shape of anyone in town. To achieve the accomplishments that you achieved. I want to extend my congratulations to you, to your coaches, to your families who sacrificed along with you to get to where you are, and to the the kids on the team today, I want to challenge you. I want to see you guys back here next year. I want to see some more medals, some more trophies, and I want to see us congratulating you again next year. So the hard work begins now for you guys. I know it's a celebratory moment, but I'm sure you guys can meet that challenge and come back here next year. To you graduating seniors, this is an experience. The camaraderie that you've developed, the friends that you developed, you're going to take this with you the rest of your life. It's going to set you up on a path, a trajectory that's the sky's the limit. And we're excited to see where you can go, and we're grateful to be a part of your life and your story. And thank you for shining the spotlight on Nutley. It's a destination for crew, certainly. So congratulations, and I probably vote aye.
Would the crew team please come up photo? Congratulations. The crew team is welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, but this is your opportunity to leave if you want to leave.
It's Italian bread with a red sauce with clams and mushrooms. So, you never want to stay. We do all this for them and then boom.
So at this time, we'll have public comment on agenda items only. This is public comment on agenda items only. If you wish to be heard on agenda items only, please approach the microphone and state your name for the record. Seeing none, Mr. Orth, I do believe we have a need for a closed executive session. Is that correct? Well, what's the... Thank you. I'll entertain a motion for closed executive session.
Mayor?
Oh, sorry.
Just clarifying that that was for agenda item. That wasn't for the public hearing on the proposed ordinance.
So if you want to talk about the proposed ordinance, you can. There will be hearings for the ordinances on second reading, if that's the ordinance you're talking about. Okay.
Second.
Thank you. Whereas Section 8 of the Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Public Law 1975, permits the exclusion of the public from meeting in certain circumstances, and whereas the public body is of the opinion that such circumstances exist, and whereas the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley and the County of Essex, State of New Jersey, desires to proceed to close the executive session, and now therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley, move into closed executive session to discuss contract negotiations and pending litigation. Be it further resolved that at the time when such disclosures may be made to the public shall be when and such disclosures may be made without adversely affecting the Township of Nutley, pending and or anticipated legal, personnel, contractual matters, and other matters within the exceptions provided for by statutes. This resolution shall take effect immediately. Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
Okay, and the time is 7:20.
Okay, we're back on the record. It's
7:54.
We'll go over to Board of Commissioner announcements. Commissioner Evans?
Nothing this evening.
Commissioner Tucci?
No announcement, just a thank you, Mayor, to you and to all the commissioners for supporting our summer festival that Commissioner Petracco and I sponsor every year. Once again, it was a rousing success. I've heard nothing but rave reviews. Everyone had a great time, and we continue to build a strong community that Nutley is. So thank you all for all your help.
Yes, it was a great night, and the weather mostly cooperated. Commissioner Scarpelli?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. We will have a electronic recycling day on July 12th from 9 to 1 in lots 7 and 9.
And Commissioner Petracco?
I would just like to ask Mayor if we could have a moment of silence. We lost Mr. Tolby last week. Talk about a Nutley giant, big guy from the Big Tree section of town. He loved all of us up here. He really did. And he really had a big end for Nutley on his shirt at all times. He looked out for all of us. So if we could have a moment of silence, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. And I have just one announcement this evening. As everyone knows, this Friday is the 4th of July. The town will be having its annual 4th of July celebration this Friday. The fireworks will go off once it starts getting dark out, which is usually around 9 o'clock. But we'll have our pre-firework festivities with the Franklin Avenue closed down. I want to thank my fellow commissioners for supporting this event. And it's it'll hopefully be a fun, weather-permitting night. So we'll move into ordinance introductions. Starting with ordinance number 3591. And this is an ordinance on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley, County of Essex, vacating a portion of Windsor Place. I move that this ordinance be passed to a second reading and advertised in the Nutley Sun, together with notice required by law that further consideration of said ordinance for final passage by the Board of Commissioners shall be held at its second reading on July 15th. I move the ordinance to its second reading.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye. The second one is Commissioner Evans.
Thank you, Mayor. 3592 is an ordinance that provides for improvements to the buildings for the Board of Education under One Nutley, which is consistent with our expectation that the sixth graders will move to the middle school in September of 2026. I move that this ordinance be passed to a second reading and advertised as the Nutley Sun together with the notice required by law, and that first further consideration of said ordinance for the final passage by the Board of Commissioners be held at its second reading on August 5th, 2025. This ordinance is in the amount of $700,000. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Just one clarification. On the ordinance, it says 650. Is that?
It's 700.
700, okay. All right. Thank you. Aye.
Inflation.
Commissioner Evans, I think you have the next two. You want to?
Yes, I'll continue. The next ordinance is our annual bond ordinance appropriating $1,897,000 and authorizing the issuance of bonds or notes in the amount of $1,805,250 for the purpose of various improvements in the township. We do this every year, and it's consistent with our capital management plan, which maintains our debt service at a level such that it's less than 4% of our municipal budget. I move that this ordinance be passed to a second reading and advertised in the Nutley Sun together with the notice required by law, and that further consideration of said ordinance for final passage by the Board of Commissioners be held at its second reading on August 5th, 2025. So move.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye.
My last ordinance is 3595. And this specifically relates to the water sewer utility and the purchase of a jet vac truck for purposes for utility as a specialty use vehicle in the utility in the amount of $206,000 with bonds or notes in the amount of $196,000. I move that this ordinance be passed to a second reading and advertise the Nutley Sun together with the notice required by law, and that further consideration of said ordinance for final passage by the Board of Commissioners be held at its second reading on August 5th, 2025. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye. And that's all the ordinances we have on their introduction this evening. We'll move on to ordinances on second reading and public hearings. And the first two up, due by Commissioner Petracco.
Yes, I have an ordinance to amend an ordinance codified in the Code of the Township of Nutley, Chapter 228, entitled Vehicles and Traffic, particularly Article 7, Special Zones and Areas, Section 29A, entitled Handicap Parking, to add to the location set forth thereon. This is for 36 Myrtle Ave. Move to open the meeting.
At this time, anyone who wishes to be heard on ordinance number 3587, may approach the microphone and state your name for the record. Anyone wishing to be heard on ordinance number 3587, approach the microphone and state your name for the record.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye.
Move the ordinance.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye.
I have ordinance number 3588, ordinance to fix the salaries of certain officers and employees in the Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, effective January 1st, 2024. Move to open.
We'll open the public hearing on ordinance number 3588. Anyone wishing to be heard on ordinance number 3588, please approach the microphone and state your name for the record.
Seeing no one, move to close.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye.
Move the ordinance.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye.
Thank you, Mayor.
The next two this evening I will read on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners. We'll do 3590, an ordinance adopting Roche Innovation Center redevelopment plan. This ordinance creates an overlay zone for block redevelopment property identified as Block 102, Lot 2, Block 200, Lots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 24, which properties were part of a former Hoffman and Roche campus so that the property can be redeveloped into medical offices and practices, et cetera, as identified in the redevelopment plan. At this time, I'll turn it over to Mr. Orth, who is our redevelopment counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Board of Commissioners and the public. My name is Derek Orth. I am the Township of Nutley's Special Redevelopment Council. These are part of the ongoing efforts to redevelop the ON3 campus, formerly occupied by Hoffman LaRoche. Tonight, on second reading for the Board of Commissioners' consideration, are two redevelopment plans. The first one, which the mayor just mentioned, is the Innovation Center Redevelopment Plan, which was introduced in June by the Board of Commissioners and considered for consistency review by your planning board earlier this, it's now July 1st, earlier in June. The second redevelopment plan is the Kingsland, or the South Kingsland Redevelopment Plan, which is also on for second reading. We do have, for the public's and the Board of Commissioners' consideration this evening, a short presentation by Fran Reiner, who is your redevelopment planner. Following that, we also have a short presentation by Lee Klein with regard to traffic mitigation that is proposed as part of this omnibus redevelopment of the ON3 campus. Just for the public's viewpoint, for the Board of Commissioners, this is second reading. This is a time for, after the presentation by the board professionals, the mayor and the board will open it up for public comment. At that point, any member of the public can approach the microphone and offer their public comment in the second reading process. So I'll turn it over to Fran, who can give his presentation. Thank you.
And just for clarification, we're doing one at a time, right? This isn't a presentation on both.
Yes, correct. We're going to start with the Innovation Center Redevelopment Plan, after which presentation we will open it up, or I would recommend you open it up for public comment, and the comments can be issued, and then we will then move on to the second redevelopment plan.
So that would be ordinance number 3590. Okay.
Good evening. Good evening. Mr. Mayor, members of the Commission, thank you, Commissioners, thank you for having me here. Fran Reiner with FAR Planning. I'm here to present to you this evening the Roche Innovation Center Redevelopment Plan, which is Block 102, Lot 2, and Block 200, Lot 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 24. As indicated, the plan was introduced at this body on June 17th. A brief presentation, which I'm going to give to you tonight and to the public, was presented to the planning board on June 18th. There are a couple of minor grammatical changes that happened from that initial, which I'll note as a part of the presentation this evening as I go through it. So if we can go. So as I've indicated, this is a multiple step process. The first step in this process is the investigation study. The property was designated as an area in need in March of 2015. The second step, which is what the mayor and commissioners are considering this evening, is the redevelopment plan. This presentation was for the planning board, so the highlighted red indicates what the planning board's role was in the process, which is to determine whether or not the redevelopment plan is consistent with the township's master plan. The planning board had determined that it was consistent and sent back that letter to the mayor and commissioners indicating that it was their opinion that the redevelopment plan is consistent with the township's master plan. The third step in the process would be a site plan application. That would be through the planning board. Again, a developer would come forward. Site plan application would have to then meet the requirements of this redevelopment plan. So in essence, the redevelopment plan represents a new zoning for this property, and that new zoning supersedes the underlying zoning that exists today. This is part of a long history of litigation that both parties are in the process of attempting to settle, and this is one step in that overall process. In terms of the redevelopment plan, I'm going to briefly kind of go through what the permitted uses are as part of the document. We have listed all the permitted uses here on screen. Those would be all permitted. All the underlying uses that are permitted would no longer be allowed on the site. In terms of the bulk standards, what I wanted to do was, so again, accessory uses, permitted uses, accessory uses are uses that are essentially ancillary to the permitted use. Again, listed here, I'm not going to go through all of them. They're part of the record in the document. What I did want to do is go through the bulk standards. And as part of that, I wanted to also talk about what the bulk standards are for the underlying zoning, so that the public is aware that the redevelopment plan that's being adopted actually places higher criteria on the property than the underlying zoning does. So within the, in terms of the minimum lot size, it's 1 acre. The underlying zoning, which is the MO zone, also has an area requirement of 1 acre. The width requirement for the MO zone, again, underlying zoning is 150 feet. It's not really applicable here on ours. The front yard setback under the MO zone is 20 feet, or the height of the building. On this particular plan, it's 40 feet, so it's greater front yard setback. The rear yard setback under the underlying zone is 20 foot, 50 foot for residential. On our plan, it's 40 feet. One side under the underlying zoning is 10 feet. Two sides is 20 feet. In our, under this plan, it's 40 foot to Kingsland. In regards to the height of the building, the underlying zoning allows for up to 100 foot building. The innovation plan allows for a maximum of 80 foot, again, reducing the overall density and height permitted. The lot coverage under the underlying zoning is 50%, meaning the amount of impervious surface, building, and asphalt parking, whereas on this plan, it's 30%. Again, indicating that there is less permitted development on the site. And the impervious under the underlying zoning is not applicable, meaning that you could construct 100% impervious area, whereas on the innovation in this plan, it's 75%. Again, less total impervious area is permitted on the site. As I mentioned, there was a minor modification to the language, and I just kind of want to put that on the record. Under general provisions on page 4 of the document, we altered the language of A1. Essentially, what we've done here is allowed for an applicant to submit a site plan application for the professionals of the planning board to review that site plan application prior to a redevelopment agreement or prior to a developer being designated. The prior language required that the redevelopment agreement and the designation be completed prior to a site plan application review by the planning board. Since we're all trying to resolve the litigation, this allows us for the developer to move forward with the site plan application on the innovation site prior to a redevelopment agreement being signed and prior to for a developer being designated. So that was one minor change that had occurred on this particular plan. We then went through the consistency review, and I won't go through in great detail, just to say that we presented the consistency review of this plan against the township's master plan, and for the reasons that are listed here and within the document, we believe that it was consistent with the township's master plan. We also believe it was consistent with the state goals and the county master plan. As a part of the redevelopment plan that we presented, this redevelopment plan also has a series of architectural, neighborhood, and design standards that go well above and beyond what conventional zoning has. And I just want to highlight a few of those since they were highlighted at the planning board. So some of the things that are required in this redevelopment plan that wouldn't be under the conventional zoning is some of the required screening. We have lighting requirements. And I'll just highlight a couple of them. No blinking, strobe, flashing, lighting, they're all prohibited. We have We have signage requirements in this that go well beyond what the conventional zoning is, including, and just again, I'm pulling out a couple of the specifics, but the facade-mounted illuminating signs that might be on a building, they have to be dimmed to 50% between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., and then any sign facing a residential neighborhood has to be turned off after 10 p.m. So what we're doing is we're going well beyond what conventional zoning allows for. In addition, we have noise standards that talk about meeting the requirements of NJDEP from a decibel level standpoint. We have additional screening along residential that goes beyond what the underlying zoning would allow. So in our opinion, we believe the plan is consistent as the planning board had noted and would ask the commissioners to consider moving to adopt this.
All right, Fran, thank you for that presentation. I next would like to turn it over to Lee Klein for our traffic presentation.
I just have one PowerPoint. So if you could just pull up that one that says list of mitigation, and then the power, and then the PDF. Yeah, that one, and then there's a PDF. Mm-hmm. We can leave that one up for now. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Lee, middle initial D is in Daniel Klein. I'm a professional engineer in the state of New Jersey. My focus is on traffic engineering. I was hired by the township to review the Stonefield traffic engineering reports that were done for the On 3 redevelopment. I did that. I reviewed the latest report, which was May 23rd, 2025. And the purpose of that report was for Stonefield to go back out and do some check counts at the study intersections along Kingsland to see how the trip generation that they had projected many years prior, how that came to fruition or not. And what they found is a lot of the values were a little lower than what they originally had projected. So some of those levels of service that you remember seeing in their original study that were going to be failing and worse than failing, some of them now are projected now to be a lot less worse than they were before. So they went out and did their traffic counts in November 30th. It was a Thursday back in 2023. They compared it to the other traffic volumes and data that they had collected over the past several years. They determined that they were very consistent, but again, the numbers were a little lower. They looked at what had been developed and what had been occupied at the time in November of 2023. Then from that point on, they projected during calculating their trip generation, they projected what the full build out of the On 3 redevelopment would be. And they came up with some mitigation improvements, and that's the exhibit that I have up on the screen. They came up with five intersections along Kingsland that needed to be improved. And some of them were the intersection of Kingsland, West Passaic, and Darling Avenue. That was to optimize the traffic signal timing and to add some additional phasing at that intersection to make the signal work a little more efficiently. At Kingsland, Metro Boulevard, and Bloomfield Avenue, same thing, optimize the traffic signal. They're going to be adding a right turn lane from Kingsland westbound into Metro Boulevard and do some adjustments to the timing and the phasing of that signal. At Kingsland Street and Ideation Way, at one point there was a roundabout that was proposed at that T intersection. And for what I gathered from talking to different people, that roundabout was really there because New Jersey Transit wanted to be able to get in and out of the site a little easier rather than waiting at a stop sign trying to make a left turn. They wanted that roundabout there. So the roundabout's not gone. It still could be there. However, there's some the affordable housing that's, I guess, to the east of the intersection. If they do decide to do a roundabout, we'll have to take into account that affordable housing building and do some re-engineering of the design of that roundabout to make that work. And then at the intersection of Kingsland Street and Cathedral Avenue, they're going to reorient that triangular-shaped intersection, bring it all to a T-signalized intersection. They're going to widen Kingsland Street so they have an eastbound left turn lane to turn into Cathedral.
and some other physical improvements there as well. And then at the intersection of Kingsland Street and Passaic Avenue, Main Avenue, just a signal optimization there, adjusting the timing by about 4 seconds to steal some green time from one of the phases and give it to another. So in conclusion, they did their check counts in November of 2023. They determined that the trip generation, which in my experience is, tends to be a little more conservative and tends to be a little higher than what's actually out there. When they did their counts and recalculated the trip generation for the additional development that's going to occur from then on, and then projected everything out and did their analysis, they came up with these improvements along Kingsland that will mitigate any impacts of the traffic from the development, and things will operate at acceptable levels of service.
Thank you, Mr. Klein, for that presentation. That is the presentation we had prepared for this evening. Mr. Klein's presentation from a traffic perspective is also, he's not going to repeat the same thing he just gave. It's an omnibus one for the second redevelopment plan, which is also here on second reading. So if the commissioners, if you have any questions for Fran or for Lee, you can feel free to ask them now. Otherwise, I would recommend that we open up the meeting for public comment on ordinance number 3590.
Commissioner Evans, do you have any questions?
Nothing for me.
Commissioner Tucci? Commissioner Scarpelli?
Not now, Mayor.
Commissioner Petracco?
Thank you.
I just have a couple questions. We'll start with, you want to go up first, Fran? Just want to highlight a couple things. Fencing, we touched on this a little bit, but any fence that's facing a residential property will be a minimum height of 8 feet, and it cannot be chain link. Is that correct?
So the height of a fence would be 6 feet maximum, with residential minimum of 8 feet, and correct, the chain link is not a permitted fence.
And the lighting for the parking lot there to be shielded to prevent spillage onto off-site properties, which would include residential, is that correct?
Yes, so there'll be cutoff fixtures are required to prevent any light spillage onto off-site properties.
And with respect to lighted signage, the applicant will have to submit a photometric study with its signage package, that's correct, right?
So they either have to meet the sign ordinance requirements that the township has, or submit a separate sign package for the planning board to review.
Okay. That's all I had. Traffic. So the question I had is the Kingsland Avenue's at County Road. What happens if the county doesn't agree to make or permit some of these changes? Is there a contingency or?
I don't think that the county would really do any pushback. It'll be paid for by the development. They'll meet the county standards for geometry and signal timing and phasing. So I wouldn't think that the county would push back on any of these improvements.
Okay. But what would the impact be if they did push back? Would it be significant?
It depends on which. You'd have to look at the individual intersections to see what the future build condition without mitigation is and what it is with mitigation.
The worst case scenario, I guess, would be the Cathedral Ave if they don't allow a traffic light there.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, say
that again. Sure, I guess the worst. Every other intersection you spoke about already has a traffic signal there, so it would just be a question of really optimizing, maybe adding a lane or two.
Correct.
But the Cathedral Ave intersection, that would require a traffic light to be put there.
Correct.
And if the county doesn't allow it to be put there, what would the impact be to the surrounding community?
I believe that the level of service for that intersection would be a level of service F, but I'm not sure. I think that I have to look deeper into the report, but I think it would be a level of service F, and I believe that the warrants are met for a traffic signal. So, again, I don't see the county not allowing a signal to go there.
So based on the traffic, the county's hands would almost be tied to have to allow a traffic signal there to optimize the traffic.
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you. I have no further questions at this time. At this time, we'll open up ordinance number 3590 for a public hearing. Anyone wishing to be heard on ordinance number 3590 may approach the microphone and state your name for the record, please.
My name is Robert Gorey. I'm with Davis Environmental Law, PC. We're counsel to Nutley Lumber Co., Inc. at 263 Hillside. They are formally and have already submitted objection and opposition to both ordinances. The core of their objection really comes relative to the Southside Kingsland redevelopment plan in ordinance 3589. However, there's a lot of overlap between the two. For that reason, we'd ask that our comments be heard on 3589 and then wrapped in the record into both ordinances, and that a vote be held until we've had a chance to speak on both.
So, if what I understand you is you're suggesting that we have both, we don't vote on this ordinance until you're able to be heard on the second ordinance?
That is correct, Mayor.
Leave that to our redevelopment council on the procedure there.
There we go. Red means go for some reason on this microphone. My recommendation is that we have two separate redevelopment plans. There's two separate public comments. I understand what council is requesting, but my recommendation to you is that you take a vote on each redevelopment plan standing alone after the public comment is given consecutively. That is the way it should be done.
Okay. I'm not going to go against our council's advice. So right now we're just going to hear comments on 3590. If you have any comments to offer on that specific redevelopment plan, we'll be happy to hear them. If not, we look forward to hearing you on 3589.
I mean, the testimony I'll give on, or the comment I'll give on both is relatively, there are similarities, so I'll proceed with the areas where there's overlap on both. Essentially, the core of Nutley Lumber's issue with the proposed ordinances and the redevelopment plans is what I'll say kind of an overlooking of stormwater issues and flooding issues that have are specifically impacting our client, Nutley Lumber, but have been an issue for the town for some time. The Roche, former Roche campus, is an 119-acre property. It's equivalent to about 5.5% of the entire municipality, the entire township. And based on work by Van Cleef, the expert who's been supporting our efforts and Nutley Lumber's efforts, it represents about 23% of the entire drainage into the Third River watershed, meaning it's the single largest contributor of stormwater in the entire watershed, and certainly within the township. And since these redevelopment plans have been moving forward, and there have been many before the township before, there's several ordinances of them that have been passed, and then based off those site plans have been submitted with stormwater management plans that do not account for the stormwater impacts being caused by the on three site. That is for a variety of reasons, but one of which is that the comparison has been to a 2012 standard. That 2012 standard, when you're looking at stormwater impacts of a proposed development versus stormwater impacts of existing conditions, looks back at Roche campus when it was more or less fully developed back in 2012. At that time, there was a lot more impervious coverage than there is today. And in each instance, PRISM submits redevelopment plans that say that their proposed redevelopment will be less impactful than those existing conditions. The reality is that every single redevelopment that happens on that property is causing an increase in stormwater and an increase in flooding issues downstream in the Third River watershed. Those have not been appropriately looked at. They have not been appropriately quantified. Our client is most at risk. They are next to one of the three outfalls that drain the Roche campus, the On3 campus. Their facility has an outfall directly across from it that's discharging a extreme amount of stormwater. The estimates by Roche for 2011 were 244,000 gallons a day, or 89 million gallons a year. That, of course, and that's just one of the three outfalls. This one drains to one of the other two outfalls that are upstream, but those waters then proceed downstream and cause flooding issues, and flooding issues not only on our client's property, but downstream on St. Paul's Brook or Springer's Brook and the Third River. Because of that, and that the redevelopment plans essentially relax the protections that exist already in Nutley's Municipal Code, requirements that flooding analysis be done for every development project that was put in to the master plan via the stormwater management plan that was revised in 2024 for the township. In each instance, they no longer would be required to do so. It's not contained within the master plan. It's therefore inconsistent with the master plan, in our view. Stormwater management plan from 2024 is a sub-element to the master plan. And then also the Nutley site plan code requires that they prevent downstream 600-6, 9A, I believe it is, requires that you prevent flooding and downstream damage to properties. The stormwater management regulations do not have any prohibition. They merely say that you reduce, which is a matter of degree. And by adopting this redevelopment plan, we can expect what we've seen in the past, that stormwater will not be appropriately managed, that the 90 million gallons that are being estimated to be discharged into Springer Brook, a relatively small stream, will not be accounted for, that the same stormwater management plans that have been submitted will be submitted, which merely say we have to do nothing different, that we are less than Roche fully developed. And the reality is that in each and every instance, there will be further impacts to downstream residents, further impacts to our clients specifically. So for those reasons, we object to the passage of both ordinances, in this case 3590, because it will, and if history has taught us anything, it's that stormwater will not be accurately or adequately accounted for in either the stormwater management plans of the site plan process, and a passage of a redevelopment plan that only seeks to kind of streamline the process, give them an easier ride to redevelopment, will just hurt the town and hurt its residents, and especially our client, Nutley Lumber. The majority of my other comments I'll save for 3590 or 89, but
great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Orth, do you have any comment on that?
No, I have no response to that statement that was made.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Joseph Fuchs. That's V as in Victor, U-I-C-H. I am a licensed professional engineer, professional planner, and a certified municipal engineer in the state of New Jersey. All certifications and licenses are in good standing. Currently serve multiple municipalities throughout the state of New Jersey, notably Morris Township, as well as others throughout Morris County, Sussex County. Previously, I had been in representation through Negley Engineering in both Passaic, Essex, Bergen counties, and have been following this redevelopment since its infancy, and participating directly through Clifton originally in the infancy of the redevelopment that was contemplated. Here to supplement on behalf of our client, Nutley Lumber, some of the statements from our attorney.
I'm sorry, are you an attorney or you're an engineer?
I'm an engineer.
Okay, are you a resident of the town?
I am not.
Okay, so this is, Mr. Mayor, members of the board, it's up to you, but this is a time for public comment on the ordinance. Council is absolutely able to make a comment on behalf of the client that they represent. It's not a hearing in the context of a land use application before a planning board where, you know, sworn testimony is provided. It's time for public comment. Typically would not permit an engineer, who's not an attorney, to provide the equivalent of testimony on the second reading of an ordinance. So it's your call, but I would not be hearing.
I see you brought the attorney back up, so is he just going
to... Would you like me to whisper in his ear? Respectfully.
How long are your comments going to be? Do you have a...
I'll be as brief as possible so that we truncate the duplication in the record, but I do believe there are some substance to my professional opinion. I understand I'm not testifying, but there were some statements from the municipality's professionals. I'd like to make a statement or two that are all relevant.
Is the attorney qualified to just be summarize your
just
report?
To summarize for you. I understand the abundance of caution, but I did. The abundance of caution for not hearing.
I think it's a slippery slope, so why don't we just have the attorney summarize the your findings.
Good evening. This is Howard Davis from Davis Environmental Law, representing Nutley Lumber Company, Inc. So the question is whether you want to engage in a full understanding of what the circumstances are or try to truncate because of the technicalities and rules that the attorney wants to impose on this body so that they perhaps are not getting the full understanding of what the circumstances are. As my colleague Rob Gorey has indicated, there has been a serious increase, monumental increase, tremendous increase in stormwater since PRISM has taken the ownership of the property. Before their ownership, all stormwater on the eastern side went to PVSC. None discharged to the brook, none, except when there was a circumstance where PVSC determined it couldn't handle it, which happened two times. So 89 million gallons have been discharged since PRISM took ownership. None of that is in any of the documents that have been prepared by anyone to date. So the question is, are you aware of it? Have you been aware of it? When were you aware of it? But you should be aware of it now because we just submitted the documentation that indicates that. So that's something you have to now consider. I guess I'll ask the question. Have you read it? Have you read our submission? I mean, it's a serious question because it's not perfunctory. This is not just an objection. The magnitude of what we're seeing here in stormwater impact is, I don't know of any other circumstance where I have been involved in this, where there's a prior industrial discharge not going somewhere, and then a switch is turned to cause it to be discharged. Now, the submission that we gave to you, all of you, includes the details, the documents, that supports exactly what we're saying. not speculation, it's not imagination, it's there. So the question is now, it was submitted, did you get it? I mean, did you get it? It's a serious question.
I received it, and I believe it's right here.
Okay. So now, have you assimilated what we're saying? Truly assimilating it? Because it's not just sent to you for the purpose of being sent to you. It's serious. A lot of water is being discharged, which means, you know, back in 21, you've had hearings on this. You've had questions on it. You've been directing. You're trying to figure out what's going on. Well, what is going on? Does anyone know what's going on? But now we've submitted something that adds to that. Has that been looked at? Did you know? Well, there's nothing in the record to suggest it. So did you know? Now you know. So what do you do with that? You say, oh, okay, continue with that. You know, a couple people, they came back in a couple of days. They had lots of injuries and worse. Let's not worry about it. No, we're here to worry about it because that's what we do. That's our job. Our job is to worry about things. Work towards a resolution that actually does justice. Work towards something that matters. And it's not just to push a button. We see a lot of that. That's not why we're here. We're here to make considerations. For you to consider it. It's your consideration. Five of you make the law in this town. And the question is whether the redevelopment ordinances will allow that to continue when all of the redevelopment plans to date have ignored it. They have truly ignored it. There's segmentation, meaning they're looking at just that, the typical, I mean, you've been through this, the typical stormwater analysis, they look at the pavement and they say, well, it's not more than it was. Well, that's the issue that, yes, it is more. And in 2012, none of it was being discharged because it was all going to PVSC. And then you have, I don't know causation because there's a lot that goes into your obligations and obligations of your professionals to really look at this question. So did they know? Did you know? If you didn't, well, you got to look at it before you're doing anything to say, bless, go ahead, continue with this stuff. And so I'm asking you, read the report in detail. It is inconsistent with the master plan. It's inconsistent. It's detailed in the submission. If you read it, I don't know how you miss it. It's a major facility. Major facility. You got to look at all the parts. You can't segment it and say, oh, we're at the end. There was never really a major facility. We never had to look at it. So you have to look at it as a whole. The whole discharges 89 million gallons average. We detail it with the support in the document. That's, again, discharged by CRISM. They turned a switch. That's what they did. With doesn't look like any real analysis or consideration by anyone. There's no indication. I mean, did you guys look at that? Did you know that that happened? Well, yeah, there was a plan that was submitted to build phase one. Was that in there? No, not that I could see. Maybe. You saw something I didn't see. I didn't see anything. Wasn't there. So now it's before you. Okay. Now you have, I don't know what the litigation is really about. You know, you're looking at this, but that's not a reason to go, okay, go ahead. Rolling back the stormwater requirements is inconsistent with the master plan. You have statutes, ordinances, you also have DEP regulations. It is inconsistent with the master plan. It is inconsistent with DEP regulations for stormwater because the major facility has never been looked at. And I know there's a matter of course. There's like practice. Well, this is how they do it. They come to this idea that we don't really have to deal with stuff because most isn't this magnitude. This is a magnitude. and you know it because you live it. You live here. You are residents. You know the people who are impacted. You know their families. You know what happened to them. And I'm not here to just be here with passion for no reason. This is real. You have to look at this. Take the time to understand this before you take action that's perfunctory. It will give everyone a chance to figure out, well, yeah, this is probably real. Let's figure out how to deal with this so it's not something we're kicking the can to hurt someone else in your town down the road. I'm asking you, don't roll back. Don't approve any resolution that rolls back stormwater obligations. You can't. There's no rational basis, first of all. You can't do it. I'm asking you not to. And so both of these ordinances do that, right? You got a major facility that's discharging it. You can't just say, let's segment, let's allow that one. Well, the other one is discharging directly. This one's indirect, you know, you've got to look at this. You can't approve something that in any way rolls back the stormwater obligations.
Sir, your comment is starting to get repetitive, so are you bringing it to a close?
I will close, but I will tell you, obviously repetition is what happened before where nothing happened. You didn't look at it, okay? And I'm asking for something different. And if I have to repeat that 11 times, because that's the average, to get through to people, then I'm going to do it. Because it has to be done. I mean, let's do it by the book, right? Let's get the notices in by the book. Okay, got it. Substantive is more important. You got to do this the right way. Please, I'm begging, pleading, don't hurt your town in, with the auspice of trying to help. They don't want it. We don't want it. You don't want it. And the people who have already impacted deserve not to have that happen. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Epps. You are permitted to make a statement as well. It's up to the board. It's a public comment period. I would welcome you. Just, you have a client, owns property in town. You are permitted to speak at the microphone and offer a public comment.
Ms. Gontrip, if I understand, you want to go last.
I don't want to interfere. I just do not want these misstatements that were put on the record by Mr. Davis and the other counsel to the fact that we're here and we're not refuting them. We do want the town to know also that there is pending litigation which they have not bothered to let you know about. Some of it's already been dismissed based on some of the assertions that were made. So we're happy to defer to the residents, but before you close this, we certainly want the opportunity so that those misleading or misstatements are not left to stand.
We can do that. If any other member of the public would like to make a statement regarding this ordinance, please come to the microphone
and then we'll just, if we can reserve our right to respond to them.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Jessica Zapata. I live at 3 Terrace Avenue. It's right on the corner of Terrace and Kingsland, which is on the curve of Cathedral. The last time I came to the podium about 2 weeks ago, I did ask for the chairman and mayor to consider the privacy of the residents now that we know that the buildings are going to be 70 feet tall, possibly looking into our backyards. For a single mom with a son, that is extremely disturbing for me. I would really want to see definitely landscape, to prohibit any of that. But also now hearing the traffic out there on Cathedral, the proposal on Cathedral and the traffic light, there's already an immense amount of traffic at Franklin Avenue that would then spill over from what I'm hearing onto Kingsland, onto my property. There's going to be people sitting there in their cars watching me in my backyard, even with my fence. You can still see through it. That's extremely concerning for me. I would want to see where on the map will there be the traffic light and how it's going to affect us residents that are on Kingsland, if that's possible.
Mr. Klein, do you have any response?
You're in the corner of Franklin and Kingsland?
I am on Kingsland and Terrace Avenue. Mm-hmm. Just a
little. Yes,
Terrace.
Yeah, and on.
Let me guide everybody here. I truly appreciate the concern, and you're welcome to speak to Mr. Klein.
I would want the commissioners to see it, like maybe pulled up on Google Maps, just so everybody can see where the potential traffic light would be that would affect.
Okay,
the community.
So I don't know if we have the plan here for this at this moment, but I would also encourage you, there is going to be, if this plan is approved this evening, the redeveloper will have to file a site plan application where fully engineered set of civil plans, architectural plans, lighting and landscape plans will be presented to the planning board, and that is really the appropriate juncture to talk about things such as, you know, the landscaping that's going to be proposed, the buffering, the coverage. Particularly, that's a very site plan specific issue,
right,
that you just identified.
Yes.
And I would encourage you to come to that planning board hearing and to express your concern and also, you know, potentially submit it in advance to the board. So at this level, the governing body does not engage in a site specific issue, you know, such as buffering into, you know, that area. But
okay.
Your comment is duly noted for the record.
Just
we
for consideration,
it.
Just so that you keep it at the back of your mind, please.
Hear it, and there's, you know, we have, you know, members of the governing body who do sit on the planning board. So I would encourage you to come back to the planning board meeting and express that same concern again.
Okay, thank you. My son Zayden wanted to also. He also has a comment.
Yes.
So from my window, looking across the land where you are going to put, well, are thinking in consideration of putting a data center, I would like to know if what's going to happen to the animals that I see over that land. I see geese, turkeys, and a family of three hawks over that land, just to name a few. So I would like to know what would happen to them if you're going to be cutting down trees and like breaking and building stuff. What would happen to the animals?
That's a great question. And what's your name, son?
Zayden,
you did a great job. Is this your first public meeting? You've been to some before? Better, you did wonderful questions, so you should also come to the planning board meeting. But typically the applicant has to file what we call an environmental impact statement as a part of their site plan application to the planning board. And in that document, they address environmental impacts from the development proposal, which is submitted to the board for consideration. And that's a document you should take a look at when it is submitted, if we proceed past this evening. And I would encourage you to also come to the meeting and put your question on the record, just as you just did so well right now.
My question was just, what would happen to the environment of the animals that call that land home?
Right, the developer will have to answer that question. And at the planning board level.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you.
No, thank you.
And then just one more thing. My son just reminded me, if this is going to be a data, do we know that it's going to be a data center? Because, I mean, that also, you know, there's been so many reports, documentaries on data centers just being very, a lot of pollutants.
You can ask a question, but there is going to be another, right after the public comment on this redevelopment plan. This is the Innovation Center redevelopment plan. This is not the data center one. That's the next one.
The next one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nadia Lyle. I live at 229 Kingsland Street, Nutley, New Jersey. I just had a question about the traffic issue again, and I want to make sure that this is
a question for the site plan application and not for this moment. Regarding the stoplight proposed today, are we able to, like, would any questions or reservations or suggestions for that stoplight be reserved for the site plan application meeting?
Yes, it would be. And the testimony that, or the presentation that Mr. Klein gave is an omnibus presentation for the entirety of the redevelopment area. It was not tied, to any particular aspect of the redevelopment plan. These are improvements that are proposed, mitigation measures as part of the full build out of the area. But yes, ask to come back to the planning board and ask the same question.
Okay. Just for my own understanding, you're saying that these are like suggestions given, not necessarily like specifics that are going to be carried out for.
These are all going to be undertaken, subject to all receipt of necessary approvals.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I think it might be helpful to kind of explain what action we're taking tonight. And Mr. Orth, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
But these are essentially zoning ordinances that we're changing, and the details will come from a site plan application for the planning board.
So these are redevelopment plan ordinances which establish the zoning parameters for a redevelopment project. The process is governed by the local housing and redevelopment law, slightly different than the municipal land use law. But it establishes the development parameters and use bulk permissions in a particular area. How far can a building be set back from a property line? How tall can a building be? How many number of stories? How many square feet? What are the parking requirements? Those are the basic standards that are being established by way of these proposed redevelopment plans. The actual development proposal with the particulars of what does the building look like, what does the architecture look like, and what are the details of the use, those are done at the planning board by a civil site plan application, which will include a lot of information, a fully engineered civil set, an architectural set. It'll include a traffic impact statement, typically an environmental impact statement. It'll have the specifics of the proposal, and that's why the planning board is the place to go for particularized questions about each development proposal. This is just establishing the parameters for what can occur on the site. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Orth. Does anyone else wish to be heard on ordinance number 3590? Seeing none, we'll let the applicant state their position.
Merrill Gonsher, Souls, Cummins, and Gross, representing PB Nutcliffe Master, who's the owner of the property, which is the subject of the redevelopment plan that you're currently considering, the innovation plan. We just want the record to reflect that the assertions that were made with regard to what PRISM did, how much water PRISM did or didn't allow, whether there were increases, whether there were changes from what Hoffman LaRoche had done, whether my client is and has been in compliance with applicable DEP and other regulations, all kinds of assertions. We do not agree with those assertions, with the factual or the legal assertions. And we also would encourage the Board of Commissioners to reject the attempt to include you in their pending litigation. Nutley Lumber filed suit against my client and others, including the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. They made many of the same allegations and assertions that they're putting before you today. Specifically, their claims that either PB Nutcliffe didn't comply with regulations or didn't get permits or change things or did things. They have been unsuccessful in the litigation in their attempt to establish that. We were not, just for the record also, as property owner and as their named defendant, they did not provide us with any of the materials that they placed before you. But we are familiar with these allegations and misstatements. As to their assertion that we mischaracterized what kind of application or should have gotten other permits and applications, I am reading from a reply brief filed by Deputy Attorney General of the State of New Jersey. This is a reply brief, and it is on file in e-courts. It's a matter of public record. It is in docket number ESX-L006952-24, and it is I have a transaction ID number LCV 20254441 18. That's how you can identify it on the record. And the first page of the reply brief filed by the Attorney General's office says, the central allegation in plaintiff's complaint is that the PRISM defendants are discharging stormwater and other pollutants through an outfall, here and after the outfall, into St. Paul's Brook, here and after the brook, in violation of New Jersey law, and it cites complaint paragraphs 30 through 47. The Department of Environmental Protection, here and after the department, disputes this claim. The department's view, in light of its investigation, is that PRISM's discharges are authorized by its existing permits or otherwise consistent with law. That was the brief that was filed on behalf of the state in support of its motion to dismiss for failure to state a claim against the DEP, where the allegation was the failure of DEP to enforce its regulations or require my client to get necessary permits. The court granted the motion to dismiss, found, as the DEP requested, that there was no failure on our part to get any necessary permits or otherwise to fail to comply with any requirements of law. And the order dismissing that part of the complaint was entered on May 2, 2025 by Honorable Annette SCOCA is the judge's name. So clearly we are not in agreement with these assertions. This is an attempt to damage or leverage against my client who owns the property that's the subject of this application, of this ordinance. As you're aware, these issues will be dealt with at the proper time is when an application is before the board. There's already been a finding of consistency with the master plan that was done by your planning board and is not to be relitigated before the Board of Commissioners. That finding was supported and stands. So many of these allegations, in terms of the volume, in terms of the changes, are not supported. And DEP has not agreed with these assertions. We don't believe that that's an appropriate argument or that those are appropriate issues to be dealt with now in the context of zoning. Redevelopment plan does require compliance with applicable regulations, and those will be tested at the time an application goes before the planning board, when documentation with regard to stormwater management and other issues will be presented and will be reviewed by the board's consultants. The applications that have gone before the boards in this town and the adjoining town to date have been found to be compliant, and based upon the arguments made on behalf of the Department of Environmental Protection, who is the arbiter of these issues, we have been in compliance. So we would ask that this distraction not be allowed to interfere with this part of the process. This is, as has been repeatedly stated by your counsel, the adoption of an ordinance, the equivalent of an ordinance in the form of a redevelopment plan. These are the standards. Those standards which are within the jurisdiction of the township to determine, that is what is in the redevelopment plan. We are still required to comply with any outside agencies having jurisdiction, and we will be required to demonstrate that at the time we file for an application before the planning board or as a matter of resolution compliance if an approval is granted. So we would ask you not to accept as gospel or fact many of the things that you've heard and some of the things that have been put in the documents presented to you, because I'm sure many of those same documents were in the paperwork that was submitted in the litigation. I don't speak from firsthand knowledge since my partner is handling the litigation. I am not, but I've certainly spoken with him. And if that information had been substantiated or convincing, then the claims that they made against DEP would remain a part of the litigation. And they are not. They have been disputed by DEP, and DEP's position is the position that was found to be the correct position by the court. So, that's our position, simply that it be on the record, I will defer to my client to speak further on it, but for the record, thank you. Oh, unless you have any questions of me. Eric, anyone?
I don't have any questions.
It might be helpful if we had Mr. Reiner talk about paragraph 10 of the redevelopment plan, since this is kind of on topic.
Mayor, are you referring to?
On page 13.
Page 13?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So for the commissioners and for the public, within the redevelopment plan of the Innovation Center, there is a requirement that's identified as number 10 on page 13 that indicates flood mitigation, water management requirements. And since this is such a topic, I will just read this into the record. So there are two subsections, 10A and 10B. 10A indicates and states any redevelopment pursuant to this redevelopment plan shall comply with the NJDEP flood hazard and water management rules, as well as the storm water, and it identifies NJAC 7:13 and NJAC 7:8. 10 subsection B states any redevelopment activities carried out pursuant to this redevelopment plan shall be undertaken in strict compliance with all applicable federal, state, and local regulations, including but not limited to the FEMA flood insurance rules, New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, Flood Hazard Area Act Control Act rules, and stormwater management rules. The developer shall be responsible for ensuring that the design and construction of any improvements within the redevelopment area shall meet the design and performance standards of the stormwater management rule and minimize damage of life and property from flooding caused by development within the flood hazard areas to preserve the quality of surface waters and to protect the wildlife and vegetation that exist within and depend upon such areas for sustenance and habitat as required by the Flood Hazard Area Control Act rules. Developers shall be responsible for obtaining all necessary permits and approvals from NJDEP and any other applicable regulatory agencies prior to any land disturbance or construction activities. So that is part of the requirement of the redevelopment plan. And as has been indicated numerous times, as a part of the site plan application, the developer would have professionals that would present that to the planning board, and the planning board's professionals would be able to review that prior to any hearing date and be able to weigh in to make sure that those requirements are met as a part of the site plan application.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Reiner. Mr. Diaz?
Mayor, commissioners, and public, since I'd like to comment on additional comments from my attorney. So look, we object to the Davis Company and Lumber, Nutley Lumberyard's objection to the ordinance. Noticeably absent, obviously, from their papers was any mention of the fact that there was pre-existing litigation that was resolved, as noted by my counsel, in respect that we are in full compliance with all permits and DEP rules and regulations concerning stormwater outfall. What they also fail to mention is their client's property is within a flood zone, a flood hazard area in a 100-year floodplain, and has been since it's been built. Any reference to 89 million gallons of water, they state that to the public as if PRISM is producing water on the site and disposing of it in some nefarious way. If 89 million gallons of water fall from the sky, 89 million gallons of water come off the property. This is what happens, right? That is what is occurring. And what they're trying to do is to attempt to get you to somehow lift up their property out of a floodplain and have PRISM solve the problem that their property is in a floodplain and is subject to flooding. This past May, we probably all saw it on the newspaper because it was a big thing in the news, 300% more rainfall this past May than ever recorded in any previously number of May. This is not PRISM's problem. PRISM is not producing rainfall. PRISM is providing conveyance systems, reducing impervious coverage ratios on the property to create better absorption of water through the soils, and controlling and working with the DEP and Civil to create the proper outfalls and flows of stormwater off this site. Now, Zayden, was it? Zayden, I want to move to your comment. Yeah, our office is located right on Kingston Street, and my window looks out over the campus. And when we first started occupying there over 8 years ago, I saw scraggly foxes, a couple of raccoons, some other deer, and things of that nature. And I want to tell you, those foxes, now that we've cleaned up the campus, we've built these buildings, we've provided more grass, more trees, and more shrubbery, which we have compared to what's been there. We've knocked down a significant number of buildings on the site over in Nutley, that I can tell you that I admire watching three or four foxes, mother and babies, run around my window and run through that property. Same thing, I see deer. The deer look healthier, quite frankly, because they're eating our shrubberies, right, that we planted. So my hope, and I believe, I can't tell you exactly what will happen to the creatures, but thus far with the development that we've taken on the campus, I've seen those animals healthier and more abundant on the property. We're not creating a wildlife preserve, don't get me wrong. I don't want to mislead you, but I've seen those animals, and I enjoy seeing them there, and we're going to take every step that we can in developing this campus in a responsible fashion so that we keep wildlife in and around the area healthy so that you can enjoy it and I can enjoy it and everyone else can see it, because we all appreciate and enjoy it too, and I appreciate you pointing it out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Diaz. Before you continue, I just want to caution you, we don't want to have a back and forth. If you have new comments, we're happy to hear them, but we don't want to create this back and forth argument type.
I understand, Mayor. I think it's important for you to hear. This is Rob Gorey again.
Sure.
I anticipated that PRISM's response would be, don't worry, DEP's looking at it. And similarly to Ms. Gonsha, I'm going to also read from a brief that was filed in the litigation. This was filed by Andrew Robbins, who is her colleague that she was referring to. And just to make clear, I'll read it and then I'll summarize it. Contrary to plaintiff's core premise, this is on page 9, it's a February 18th, 2025 filing, it's available on eCourts. It was filed joining the DEP's motion to dismiss, which I'll also say was dismissed on a procedural grounds. They said the cause of action could not be brought. It wasn't dismissed because of the merits of the case, which this case is still ongoing. But I'll read to you the Mr. Robbins' statements. Contrary to plaintiff's core premise for count 4, under DEP's regulations, DEP does not review stormwater unless the development activities are subject to review under other specific permitting programs regulated by DEP. This is not the case here. This is not the case here, nor has plaintiff alleged same. Consistent with the regulatory framework, stormwater management was included in the reviews conducted for redevelopment projects built or being built by PRISM. Plaintiff has misconstrued when DEP would review stormwater management. Under the department's stormwater rules, DEP's review is limited to specific DEP permitting programs, none of which are implicated here. The import of this is that the buck stops actually with you, the Board of Commissioners, not with DEP. You are responsible for stormwater management in Nutley. DEP, as admitted by PRISM's own counsel, is not looking at this issue. So when they say that, don't worry, everything's okay with DEP, yes, do they have permits from DEP, but the issues of stormwater management, the quantity of stormwater leaving that site and how it's dealt with are dealt with by the municipality, by the township, and it is your responsibility as the Board of Commissioners to deal with it, because no one else is going to look at it. So that's all I'll say for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to be heard on ordinance number 3590? Seeing none, I move to close the ordinance, or close the public hearing.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye. I move the ordinance.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye, but I would like to add, we certainly considered everyone's public comment, and we certainly considered the objection as well as our professionals. And as I alluded to earlier, this is a ordinance basically for a zoning, and the specifics will be taken care of at a later date with the site plan application. But I did not want it to seem like we didn't consider the objection or any of the comments. Everything was considered, and based upon the advice of our professionals, we're going to continue to move forward with the ordinance. Aye. At this time, we'll bring up Gene Diaz again. Well, actually, let me read the ordinance. This is ordinance number 3589, an ordinance adopting roads outside of Kingsland Street redevelopment plan. This ordinance creates an overlay zone for the redevelopment of the property identified as block 2000, lots 1, 4, and 5, and block 2100, lot 1, which properties were part of the former Hoffman Roads campus, so that property can be redeveloped into a data center or other uses identified in the redevelopment plan. I'm going to move to open the public hearing, and we'll start with Mr. Reiner regarding this ordinance.
Thank you again, Mayor, Commissioners, Fran Reiner for FAR Planning on behalf of the Mayor and Commissioners. Again, I'm going to present this evening the redevelopment plan that was presented to the Planning Board. The first reading of this was heard on June 17th. That was the introduction by the Mayor and Commissioners. On June 18th, the presentation was given to the Planning Board. I'm going to briefly go over that presentation for everybody's benefit. There are a couple of minor grammatical changes that were made that are de minimis. Those were made and placed on, the new document was placed on the township's website, but I'm going to review them just for the record as I go through this. Not to belabor, the same process occurred with this redevelopment plan as occurred with the previous one. In March of 2015, the property was designated as an area in need. For everybody's knowledge and understanding, this site is the site that was or is the truck warehouse application. And so the zoning that would be is being considered this evening by the mayor and commissioners would supersede the underlying zoning. And the zoning in this redevelopment plan would not permit a truck warehousing facility. That being said, it's my understanding that the application for the truck warehousing has been adjourned multiple times through the Planning Board. The adoption of this redevelopment plan would again eliminate the truck warehousing as a permitted use. But the applicant would need to withdraw the application, the truck warehousing application, which is my understanding is a part of the settlement agreement that they're working on. So although this doesn't allow the truck warehousing, because the application was adjourned and not withdrawn, technically that application is still on the books. Once it is withdrawn by the developer, then the adoption of this plan will not allow truck warehousing to occur. The permitted uses within this particular redevelopment plan are listed on the screen. Important to note, data centers is one of those uses, but there are a number of other uses that are permitted. Again, this is not a site plan application. It simply represents zoning through the redevelopment law. So data centers, offices, senior and assisted living, scientific laboratories, fabrication assembly of products, research laboratories, all uses consistent with what Roche has put together in terms of the scientific uses of the campus are all permitted uses herein. There's also a list of the accessory uses. Again, the accessory uses are uses that are ancillary to a permitted use. And so those are all listed here on the document, and for the record, they're on page 13 in the report. If you walk through the bulk standards, again, I'll talk about them in regards to the underlying zoning, because I think it's important to note that this redevelopment plan places greater restrictions on the development than the underlying zoning currently allows. So again, for this particular plan, the area The minimum lot area is 1 acre, which is the same as the underlying zoning. The front yard setback along Kingsland is 50 feet, whereas the underlying zoning, it's 20 feet, so it's a greater setback, meaning there's more front yard. The rear yard setback is requires 50 feet, whereas the underlying zoning is 20 feet, 50 feet next to a resident. So there was one item that I mentioned. There was a grammatical error that was within the prior document that has subsequently been changed. Again, we believe it's de minimis because I presented the minimum building side yard setback abutting a residential area. The current document states that the greater of 50 feet or the height of the building. The document that was on the record prior to the last couple of days indicated that it was lesser of 50 feet or the height of the building. To be clear, it has been corrected. It is the greater of 50 feet or the height of the building abutting residential. I believe a resident had pointed that out. That was an error on my part. We corrected it. We believe it's de minimis because I presented it to the planning board as the greater of, even though the language said the lesser. Are you moving it on me? All right, there you go. Okay. smart man. Just a couple of more minor things in terms of the bulk standards. The height requirement for the Kingsland redevelopment plan is 75 feet, where the underlying zoning allows 100 feet, again, lowering the permitted height of the buildings. The lot coverage is 40%, whereas the underlying zoning allows 50%, meaning less development can be developed on the site based on the new redevelopment plan. And the impervious surface requirement in this plan is 75%, whereas the underlying zoning, it essentially would be 100% because it's not they don't have any requirements. We presented this plan to the planning board, and the planning board planner, as well as myself, walked through the township's master plan, and we determined it was our opinion that the this redevelopment plan is consistent with the township's master plan. The board planner, Paul Ritchie, also determined that it was consistent with the township's master plan. This redevelopment plan also includes the same language for the flood mitigation and stormwater management that I read into the record of the previous. It also includes all of the other design standards, building standards, fence requirements, lighting requirements, signage requirements that I read into the record as a part of the previous redevelopment plan as well. So it's our opinion that this is consistent. The planning board sent their recommendation to the commissioners saying that they believed it was consistent, and the board's planner also believed that it's consistent. So with that, we would ask that the commissioners consider adopting this this redevelopment plan.
Thank you, Fran. And the traffic presentation has already been given. We're not going to repeat that in connection with this redevelopment plan. So it's back to you, Mr. Mayor, to open it for public comment.
Before I do any of the commissioners have any questions of Mr. Reiner for this ordinance?
Nothing for me.
I just have a few questions. Landscaping, the plan calls for a substantial variety and quantity of trees and plant materials that is aesthetically pleasing as a gateway into the township of Nutley, and this is on page 18. Is that correct?
Yes, so we have both general landscape and screening standards. We also have off-street surface parking landscape standards, as well as interior landscape planting standards for surface parking, all with the idea of creating a good tree coverage, lessening the impact of asphalt and paving by placing trees and plants, as well as requiring screening along the adjacent residential properties. There is a requirement for a double row of evergreens along the rear residential, as well as providing additional deciduous trees as a part of that buffer.
And sticking with the landscaping, shade trees will be provided at regular intervals of at least 35 feet intervals for providing shade to the
Yes.
Project.
Yeah, that's under B2D.
Right.
It's part of the requirement.
And as we spoke on the earlier ordinance, the fences shall not exceed 6 feet except the minimum of height of 8 feet when it's abutting a residential property. And it can't be a chain link fence.
Correct.
And then the same issue, same again with the lighting. The lights have to be shielded to prevent any sort of spillage onto the neighboring properties. Same thing with signage, any illumination stops at 10, and the applicant will be providing a photometric study.
So signs that are facing residential neighbors have to be shut off at 10 p.m. Other illuminated signs that are not facing residential have to be dimmed to 50% between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m.
And then the same issue with the noise, it must adhere to the New Jersey Administrative Code, applicable decibel standards and regulations. And if I understand correctly from the planning board meeting, the applicant will have at least a phone number of an individual to call in case there is any sort of noise issue that can be addressed before having to, I guess, go to the town for some sort of intervention.
Correct.
I don't have any further questions. At this time, I'll open the public hearing to any member of the public who wishes to be heard on ordinance.
Mayor, if I might, before we open the public hearing, as part of that planning board process, as the Parks Commissioner or town certified arborist, will in fact review all of the plans that are submitted to the clients to make sure that the nature and the character of the town isn't diminished and in fact will be enhanced by a portion of this project.
Excellent. That's great news. So now anyone wishing to be heard on ordinance number 3589, please approach the microphone and state your name for the record. Thank you.
Robert Gorey, Davis Environmental Law. We are counsel to Nutley Lumber, 263 Hillside, Block 2000, Lot 27. We are here in opposition to the ordinances for the reason that they, or specifically this ordinance this time, that they are inconsistent with the master plan in that they roll back stormwater protections that exist in Nutley's municipal code and make it easier for stormwater issues not to be addressed or addressed in the similar way that they have. The property at issue, our client's property at issue, is the directly across what is referred to as St. Paul's Brook or Springer Brook. They've been there for 100 years. They've literally, probably I think almost as long as, or close to 100 years, almost as long as Roche was there. They have watched their property and the development of this town, and they feel incredibly threatened by the developments that have happened since PRISM took ownership of the property, which is ironic considering that Roche was operating there and the legacy of contamination associated with their work. There is an outfall directly across from my client's property. It's been referred to on some as outfall 002 or 002A. That outfall has existed back to the days of Roche. That outfall was used solely for, it had an Egyptes permit, New Jersey Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit, and it was used essentially to operate as what is a combined sewer overflow permit. Roche, because they had miles of processed waste lines, sanitary, stormwater, everything, and a lot of contaminated water going through their system, they essentially had a municipal wastewater treatment system. They referred to it as the Environmental Control Facility, or ECF. It was located on the parcel that is subject of the Southside Kingsland redevelopment plan. That treatment facility treated all of their waste and then discharged all of it to PVSC, Passaic Valley Sewerage Commission, under a sewage use permit. The stormwater that was collected from that area of the site, and if you refer to exhibit, I believe it's exhibit, let me just see, 3, in the written submission we provided yesterday, you can see the Conrail rail line and everything minus the very top closest to Route 3, everything to the right of that, the majority of the 119 acres, that is covered under that stormwater from that site is collected on that site and used to go through the ECF, was treated, and then discharged to PVSC. The import of that is not a single drop of stormwater that hit that side of the Roche campus, the largest side of the Roche campus, was discharged ever within the boundaries of Nutley. It never went to Nutley except for on two occasions. One was during Hurricane Floyd. And in Hurricane Floyd was 1999, I believe. It was like a three-day storm. It rained 10 inches. In that respect, it was very similar to Hurricane Ida. In that 2 to 3 day period, that site, that 119 acres, generated 17.2 million of gallons of water, which was discharged through that outfall. So just to give you a size and scope, Roche's estimates of the amount of water it's discharging found on Exhibit 4 in the submission we made to the town is that it's 244,000 gallons per day, which comes out to roughly 89 million gallons a year. That number is deceptive because stormwater is generated when it rains, and a few days after, or you know, in the time around it rains, maybe a day or so after, is when it discharges. I think I read an estimate it rains 160 days in Nutley. About that, give or take, in an annual year. So you're not talking about 244,000 gallons a day. You're talking about storms where 17.2 million gallons are entering Springer Brook. I don't know if you've seen Springer Brook. It is not a big stream. It was never, no sane person could look at that and say, that's an adequate water body in the middle of a residential town, in the middle of a built-up Nutley to unleash 17.2 million gallons into a stream that three blocks later hits a culvert. And now I know there's testimony from various commissioners about flooding issues on Elm Place that just started happening, and nobody knows why. You're having it studied. That's where that culvert goes underground. That culvert of the covered portion of St. Paul's Brook goes underground there. I don't know if that's the cause of it. You guys said you had hired Groney, your engineers, to study it. I don't know what they came to, but I can tell you that brook is not set up to receive 17.2 million gallons from a storm and then discharge it down. And this town has been facing flooding issues. They've been the topic. Your stormwater management plan deals with how challenging it is because your town is mostly developed. You have very few parcels where you can actually integrate stormwater management, build reservoirs or retention ponds, because you're completely infilled and there's no room to do it. Regulation's hard. The Roche facility is the largest parcel in Nutley. It's 119 acres. I know some of it extends into Clifton, but the acreage of it, the overall acreage, 119 acres, is 5.5% the size of the entire township of Nutley. It is massive. Our expert, Van Cleef, who you guys would not let speak earlier, he looked at the stormwater map, the drainage maps for the watershed. 23% of all drainage into the Third River watershed goes through the Roche site. We can't control water falling. You cannot control it. And if rains are increasing, then they're increasing. But you can put in place stormwater mitigation measures to protect against flooding, to control how water is discharged, to control at the speed it's discharged. So I spoke about what Roche did. Roche did that for years. Contaminated water, sent it all to PVSC. Average of 90 million gallons a year, and we talked about the fact that that's a deceiving number because it's episodic. That's 17.2 million, roughly 20% of that entire average in a 2 or 3 day period from Hurricane Floyd. That's what you're looking at. That's what's coming out. That's what came out during Ida. That's what will come out next storm we get 10 inches. Will be $17.2 million gallons, maybe more, maybe less, cascading out of a single outfall into St. Paul's Brook, into Springer Brook, and downstream to the residents downstream. Beginning in 2016, PRISM bought the site September 30th, 2016. 2016. Less than 2 months later, they send a letter to the NJDEP. It's Exhibit 5. I think it's important that I read it. But basically, as previously communicated to the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, the transfer of ownership was completed on September 30th, 2016.
The facility has an existing basic industrial stormwater permit for the west side of the property. That's the Innovation Center we just talked about. That's where they've always been piping their stormwater into St. Paul's Brook. Historically, the east side of the property under the previous ownership consisted of research and development laboratories, and the stormwater from this area, along with the non-contact cooling water, was discharged to the Passaic Valley Sewerage Commission sanitary sewer. There are no longer any process or R&D operations conducted on the east side of the site. PRISM plans to decommission the wastewater treatment plant and route the stormwater from the east side of the property to the stormwater discharge, the outfall across from my client's property. This requires a minimal physical change at the facility to route the stormwater from the east side of the property to the stormwater discharge instead of the sanitary sewer discharge. The non-contact cooling water has been permanently piped into the sanitary sewer. Per guidance received from the DEP, this letter serves as notification of the change to route stormwater from the east side of the property to the stormwater discharge. The Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan is also being amended to reflect the change, and an updated copy will be maintained on site. Given the simple nature of this proposed change, PRISM plans to proceed with the change of routing the stormwater from the east side of the property to the stormwater discharge starting December 1st, 2016, unless we hear otherwise from DEP. They aren't asking for DEP to look into it, to assess the volume of stormwater that's coming through. They're telling them this is what they're doing. And that's what they did. On November 30th, they decommissioned it, they turned a switch, and that outfall's been running ever since. And as my colleague, Mr. Davis, asked, our assumption is that you did not know that was occurring. Because anybody who is sitting here thinking that stream is capable of receiving an average of 90 million gallons or 17.2 million gallons in a single storm has got to be out of their minds. So from there, that's what's been going on. There is no... They confirmed in a letter, I guess, what was it, 2 months later, that I think it's Exhibit 6, that they did in fact do that. DEP never once looked at the quantity of the water. And if you want to look, you guys have prepared stormwater pollution prevention plans. We included the one they just referenced. It's Exhibit 2. There is not one mention of the quantity of water. It is all about, you know, having protections around USTs and other things where you store pollutants. Nothing deals with quantity, because quantity is the responsibility of the Board of Commissioners and of the Planning Board. It's handled at the development level. DEP is not looking at this issue. The only people looking at this issue is the Board of Commissioners and the Planning Board. PRISM is submitting stormwater management plans, and they are woefully, woefully misrepresented of the issues. There is an agreement back in 2012 between municipal engineers that when assessing stormwater, they will look at 2012 when Hoffman LaRoche was fully developed. The rationale there is that if you compared current conditions where Roche knocked down all their buildings and tore up a bunch of their parking lots, that if you looked at it now, anything they did would be an increase in the amount of stormwater runoff from impervious surfaces. The amount of impervious surfaces on the Roche campus went from 4.2 million square feet to 1.2 million between 2012 and 2016. So they asked for this so that they could say, look, we're just like Roche. But they're not just like Roche, because Roche ripped up everything. So now, any project that happens, let's put the outfall aside for 1 second, anything that happens is a stormwater increase. And anything that happens on that east side from Conrail rail tracks is a stormwater increase. Emphatically, that's not a debate. It is not a debate. It doesn't matter how many stormwater managers reports they write. It is an emphatic increase in stormwater going into that. But more importantly, they took the best parts of 2012. They took the impervious lot coverage and said, we can now compare our stormwater management plans to this, to say there is no net increase in stormwater going in, because we're looking at Roche 2012, fully developed, not the ripped up holes in the parking lot situation you have going on currently. But the worst thing they did is they completely ignored the fact that every ounce of water that hit that east side of the property, the majority of the property, was piped to PVSC. It never saw a water body in the township ever, never once, except for two occasions, which we outlined before. So they take the best parts and they submit these plans. We've reviewed them. You can look at, let's flip to 10. Exhibit 10 is the 275 Kingsland Stormwater Management Plan. And it isn't worth the paper it's written on. And I'll tell you why. There is, we can go to page 6, where they say, this is what existing stormwater runoff is, and this is what our proposed runoff is. And look, we're less. There was no runoff. It's all going to PVSC. Every drop was going to PVSC in 2012. That's the benchmark they agreed to use, except they don't use the fact that there's nothing going into St. Paul's Brook. There's not a drop going into St. Paul's Brook. Every number should be a zero. So they get up there and they say, look, no problem with stormwater. We don't have to mitigate. We don't have to create retention ponds. We don't have to create dams. We don't have to create, gates to allow for the amount of stormwater that goes through. We have to do nothing because look at us. We're just as good as Roche or better. So they're not doing anything. You have a massive parcel that could control stormwater into Springer Brook, a company under one ownership who has the finances and the resources to deal with stormwater issues, and they're submitting reports to say we can do nothing. And you're approving them. You're giving them site plan approval. You're not, no one is looking back at whether stormwater is an issue. And meanwhile, you're commissioning studies to figure out why Elm Place is flooding. You're like, we're going to get to the root cause of it. Don't worry, community, we're going to figure it out. And no one's saying, well, maybe it's the 90 million gallons that in 2016 they started discharging and never were discharging before. The reason that the consistency, there's an issue with consistency, is there are more protections. As home rule, as part of the municipality, you have the authority to require more. DEP is not looking at the issue, as I said. And what's been proven at the site plan stage, whether it's Ideation Way, whether it's the medical center, whether it's 275, the proposed warehouse, is that none of them, they're all saying less stormwater, less stormwater, less stormwater. None of them are disclosing the fact that there was, all the stormwater was going to PVSC and not a drop was hitting your streams, not a drop was hitting St. Paul's Brook, and not a drop was hurt. Hitting the Third River. The way that the code is written, that your municipal code is written, is you have protections in other places. You have the site plan rules have protections that say you can prevent, any downstream can prevent any impacts to downstream residents from stormwater. You have that power. But when you propose an ordinance and a redevelopment plan that doesn't include that provision, the ordinance on its face says those provisions are repealed. So nobody's going to look at it. You prepared in 2024 a stormwater management plan for the municipality where you just lamented how difficult it is to regulate stormwater despite the fact that you have this parcel and this redevelopment and this opportunity to deal with it. But in it, it says that every single site plan approval is now going to include flood mitigation, flooding analysis and mitigation. By passing this ordinance, you are repealing that provision because it's not in the redevelopment plan. Your power to deal with this when you are the only people responsible for it is slipping through your fingers because you're being pressured by an entity with a lot of money and a big budget for litigation who sued you. This is the opportunity to change that. And if you don't, guess what? We'll get another stormwater management plan that says, oh, pre-existing conditions, looking back at 2012, look, lots of runoff. We're doing less. We're doing more. It's a farce. It's a smoke show, and you're all falling for it. At the same time, you're lamenting why there are flooding issues in Nutley. You're not looking at the issue. This is the opportunity to do it. It is not going to happen at the site plan process. And if you don't deal with it, you will feel the repercussions of it. I have two other orders or pieces of business that I just wanted to talk about, unrelated. One of which is we submitted two more pieces, I guess I'll say, of opposition today. One of which was a requirement in the Nutley, in the state code, NJSA 40. 55D-62.1. It says that all residents within 200 feet of this proper, of a redevelopment plan change in zoning, have to be given notice of it. Our client did not receive the notice, and my question is, did those notice letters go out?
So this is, commissioners, the objection. I think there's another one, or a protest petition you're going to reference in a moment, I assume. The objector is asserting that the notice of the redevelopment plan was deficient. They are inquiring if individualized personal mailing notices were sent to the 200-foot list. 200-foot list notices, my understanding, were not mailed. With that said, I will state that it is my legal opinion that because this redevelopment plan is done under the local housing and redevelopment law, individualized personal notices to the 200-foot list is not a requirement under the local housing and redevelopment law for this redevelopment plan. But the objection is noted.
The only exception in that, in the quoted statutory provision, is except for reexaminations of the master plan, which this is not. So
I was citing to, give me one second, I'll get you. NJSA 48:12A-7, which is a statutory provision on the local housing and redevelopment law. So that is what I was referring to as to why a 200-foot list mailing is not required for a redevelopment plan. But your objection is noted, reserved for the record.
All right. The other one I will say, which is that we submitted today a petition. Our understanding is that the area of the property is equal to 200 feet of the
surrounding
area. Yep.
Were you able to?
We did calculate it. 20.99% is not the number, giving us a 0.99%, I guess, majority on that.
So under the this is a provision from the municipal land use law, when a surrounding property owner with 20% or more of the land surrounding a site, which is, I'm not quoting the statute exactly correctly, but it's in 200 feet of all surrounding lands of a site that's being subject to a rezoning ordinance, when the owner of that land, or multiple owners, if there are multiple, submits a protest to the ordinance, the governing body, in order for the ordinance to pass, the ordinance must be approved by what I'm just going to call a supermajority vote.
That's
and
correct.
The council has, their initial protest petition was unclear if they owned in excess of the 20%. Council has confirmed on the record they own, 20-point-some-odd percent. While I am not aware if that particular, I'm not aware of any superseding provision of the local housing and redevelopment law on that particular issue, so I'm unclear if it is applicable here this evening. They've asserted that it is applicable, and which would mean we need a supermajority vote if this redevelopment plan is to proceed this evening. At a future date, I can delve into the issue in greater detail on the applicability of the protest petition statute to a redevelopment plan, but I'm not aware of, at the moment, of contradictory authority in that regard.
Yep. The only other thing I'll say before I close these proceedings, or before I finish my comment, is that I know that there's pressure on the board because of the settlement, and I know there are people worried about 275 Kingsland. The traffic study may not be adequate grounds to deny a site plan for approval. A failure to follow the stormwater management regs and adequately categorize your stormwater management contribution from your proposed development, I believe, is. All I'm saying here is that there is relief that can be pursued so that these issues can be looked at. What we're asking for is that the board take a very serious look at these issues. Don't just rush forward with their plan to move this ahead now that they're presented with the facts and details of this issue. It is a serious issue. I think everybody in the town of Nutley wants to see the Roche campus ultimately redeveloped. But what Nutley Lumber wants to do is see it redeveloped in a safe way so that they are not being threatened, that development approvals aren't being rushed, that the whole powers of the, that exist under the code are being considered and thought of, so that them and other downstream residents aren't being put at peril. Thank you.
I do have a couple comments. This isn't something that happened overnight. We as an entire board look at things and take actions that are in the best interest of the township. And if the best interest of the township was to continue to fight and litigate, that's something that the board certainly has the fortitude to do. You mentioned that Elm Place suddenly has flood issues. Elm Place has had flood issues since I was a child. And the redevelopment plan does, again, have the same flood mitigation, stormwater management requirements of the ordinance or the redevelopment plan that we just passed, number 3590. So I did want to put that out there that, you know, we're not just simply capitulating. This is a measured step taken by the board, and this is, we're considering this with all due diligence.
Mayor, if I may, I would just respond to your statement about the Elm Place flooding issues by quoting from the November 30th, 2021 Board of Commissioners meeting. In that meeting, an Elm Place resident stated on the record that she, quote, lived on Elm Place for 18 years, and 3 years ago, that would be 2019, was the first time her house was flooded. And it happened again this past July 2021 and September 2021. In response to that resident's concerns, Commissioner Petracco stated in relevant part, quote, I'll take responsibility for Nichols, especially in the Elm Place area. We've walked the culvert the day after the storm. The increased volume that's coming through from these two intense storms over the last 6 months, we don't have a lot of answers of why that's occurring. What's different? Is it something different that happened upstream? Is it something the mayor did to address meeting with other municipalities that all contribute to those streams? So there are things we're looking at, commissioned by our engineers to do the study, and we're going to have to wait and see what comes back. So in response to that, Elm Street's always had flooding issues. I just refer you back to Commissioner Petracca's prior testimony, because it seems to conflict with your recollection of the flooding issues on Elm.
The statement is what it is. Again, that's one particular resident with one particular property. Elm Place is a rather long street. So where the flooding issues may or may not occur, certainly water moves over time. Commissioner Petracca, did you want to respond? Or?
I just like to respond and say that I've listened to both sides. And I think that, global warming has attributed to this. I mean, there are spots that I've noticed, but I lived here for a long time. Elm Street did get flooded to the magnitude when we have a storm that's 12 inches in 2 hours. I don't think any parts of town are going to be able to mitigate that at all. I own a few properties in those areas, too. I've been dealing with flooding for many years here, but I do think that the storms are getting worse. And I think that it's fair to say that, we have to consider all our residents, and we represent all the residents of Nutley, and that, moving forward, I hope that we could come to some kind of resolutions for both parties to be happy.
Anyone else wishing to, Mr. Diaz?
Yeah, hi, thank you, Gene Diaz again, PV Nutcliffe. So look, we object to the objection again for prior reasons and other issues, but I would also just like to point out a couple of factual issues in connection with Mr. Corey, was it? Boring. His math and his statements. One, at 119 acres, 65 of those acres are in Clifton. That would put us less than 5%, would put us about 2% of the Nutley land. But he also stated that the Nutley entire campus represents
23% of the stormwater getting into St. Paul's Brook. But yet he called us the largest contributor to it. I'm not certain, and I think there's incongruity in that statement. 23% is a lot less than 50, and it's certainly a lot less than 100, right? We're one of the smaller contributors coming off our landshed, watershed, into St. Paul's Brook. I'll tell you where the majority is, and I'll tell you why he's not going after them, because he said it himself. The majority of the other 77% is coming from all the residential population to the north and to the west of us and to the south of us. That's all part of the overall watershed and the drainage watershed, and that makes up the other 77%. He's not suing them, and he's not going after them, because he said it himself. You got a party here, one company who's got plenty of money. Go after them. We're only 23% of the waterfall going into St. Paul's Brook. That includes his statement, if it is correct, and we don't know it is, 90 million gallons somehow is now going in there too. That includes it. If that's additional, we're still only 23%. We were below that. We're the smaller volume coming in. Now, that also presumes, with all this fire and brimstone, you guys know what you've approved on this site so far. What has been done on the On3 campus in Nutley in terms of development thus far, which would have had an impact? We've built one garage. The only development in Nutley thus far has been the 100-200 Metro garage. And now they want to blame all of this flooding and water and storm runoff because we constructed one garage in place of 3 million feet of other buildings that have previously existed of impervious coverage? Their numbers don't add up. Their motives don't add up, and I object to any of their statements and objections. They want to try this. Let them try this with the litigators. They must have plenty of money because they're suing us. So let them try it in the courts where something like this belongs. This is not a matter for you guys to get, for you commissioners to get involved in. The DEP has already stated it. We are legally discharging in conjunction with all of our permits. We have met all of the rules and regulations associated with stormwater and flood hazard management. Stated on the record in front of a judge and determined to be appropriate. I can't get in anymore. Appreciate all your time. We appreciate that he has problems with his property. We are not the resolution for that property. We will abide by the law and continue to abide by all those regulations and do what we have to do underneath the law and the technical guidelines that govern this.
I just want to deal with a couple of the legal issues. Merrill Gontra, Souls, Cummins, and Gross, representing PB Metcalfe Master. And with regard to some of the issues, I concur. You don't need my concurrence, but I agree with Mr. Orth that there is no requirement under the redevelopment law. There's actually an exception that says that specific requirements related to the MLUL do not apply. And so there is no requirement for individual notice. Furthermore, I would object to accepting any petition. It's nice for someone to stand up and say what we measured it. The requirement is that in order for someone to file a protest against any proposed amendment or revisions of the zone ordinance, which I would suggest this is not, this is a redevelopment plan which is governed by a separate statute. It has its own procedures, objection basis, and standards. May be filed with the municipal clerk, signed by the owners of 20% or more of the area, either of the lots or land included in such proposed change. Obviously, since my client owns the property that's subject to this redevelopment, they couldn't possibly qualify under that. Or two, of the lots or land extending 200 feet in all directions therefrom, inclusive of street space, whether within or without the municipality. I believe it's incumbent upon them to provide the acreage of all of the lots extending 200 feet in all directions from the subject property, which are the subject of this redevelopment plan, with the calculation, including the streets, to indicate that they exceed 20%, and not simply to throw out numbers without any backup or justification. As indicated, the only difference then is not that the board is not able to act, but that they are required to act with a larger majority. I don't believe that that's applicable in this instance because I don't believe that they've met their proofs to demonstrate that they qualify to submit such petition. We've made our objections to their allegations previously. I would also point out to them that under the municipal land use law, and under the, specifically with regard to redevelopment plans, the redevelopment plan supersedes those areas of the ordinance which it says it supersedes. To the extent that this redevelopment plan specifies that it is subject to regulations and ordinances, they are making blanket statements which may indicate lack of familiarity with the redevelopment law, but are not an accurate statement of the law as it's applied, and is merely sounds like threats that they're trying to scare the Board of Commissioners to believe that they're doing something dangerous or nefarious, and under the law, as I understand it, that is not the case. And so we object to those assertions that were made with regard to the legal impact and also to their ability to make a protest or to make a notice objection, because it is not applicable under the redevelopment law as written. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Gonchar. And I'll just say, Mr. Corey, following the board's vote on this redevelopment plan, I would just, I may ask you to submit a calculation of the lot area.
I can see
that. Okay, or you have it right now. Okay, I'll have to have my engineer take a look at it. You can give us a few letters. Okay, so let's put a pin in that issue at the moment. Okay, it may or may not be relevant.
Does anyone else wish to be heard on ordinance number 3589? Mr. Davis.
Thank you so much. I won't repeat the focused discussion that Dr. made, but I do have a question, just a clarification. So it's not the intent to make any stormwater review any less than the existing site plan ordinances, stormwater ordinances currently require, and that the intent is that all of those will be required and applicable as this goes through the rest of the processes at the planning board and so forth. I think that that's your intent. Is that correct? I'll take that as an assent.
You're right. Yep.
I would simply say that the language is what it is in both documents, that when a site plan application goes before the board, that the board engineer, the board planner, and the other board professionals will review that language and make sure that anything that's submitted is meeting those requirements. I think opining on that question at this point is not relevant.
Okay, that's Fran's our planner. That's what his response is. Are there any other comments? Okay, Mr. Mayor.
Seeing none, I move to close the public hearing on ordinance number 3589.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye. Move the ordinance.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye. We still have a number of resolutions to go through. I know a lot of people were here for the ordinances. If you would like to take the opportunity to leave, we'll give you some time now. Thank you, Frank. Sorry.
I'm not going to stay for the resolutions.
Well, I am going to stay.
Think so. Thank you. It's Bellis. Bellis? Jerry Bellis. Wait. Yeah, he's like... All right. Moving on to resolutions, Commissioner Evans.
Thank you. Thank you. My God, you give me a break. My first resolution is 165-25. NJSA 48:5-4 requires the governing body of every local unit to have made an annual audit of its books and accounts and financial transactions. We have done that. We have utilized Nizabachi & Company, who is a registered municipal accounting firm, able to do that work. And they're authorized by NRS 52:27BB34, authorized the local finance board of the state of New Jersey to prescribe reporting pertaining to local fiscal affairs. The local finance board has promulgated NJAC 5:30-6.5, a regulation requiring that the governing body of each municipality shall by resolution certify to the local finance board of the state of New Jersey that all members of the governing body have reviewed at a minimum the sections in the annual audit entitled comments and recommendations. The members of the governing body have personally reviewed the minimum requirements as evidenced by the group's affidavit form of the governing body, which is attached to the resolution. Such resolution of certification shall be adopted by the governing body no later than 45 days after the receipt of the annual audit pursuant to NJAC 5:30-6.5, whereas all members have received and have familiarized themselves with at least the minimum requirements of the local finance board as stated after said and have subscribed to the affidavit as provided by the local finance board. Failure to comply may subject the members of the governing body to a penalty of $1,000. Now therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley hereby states that it has complied with NJAC 5:36.5 and does hereby submit a certified copy of the resolution and the required affidavit to said board to show evidence of said compliance. I would just add that the audit was completed. There were no material findings as a result of the audit. There were a couple recommendations, which was to continue to incorporate technology into our services and to advance the use of technology, given the environment we're in. So overall, that was the most significant comment, which is, again, an opportunity to advance our systems of control. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye.
7725. The township has a need to acquire the services of an independent professional planning expert to assist the township with the preparation of zoning ordinance revisions into formal regulatory zoning ordinances to be retained on a non-fair and open basis pursuant to provisions of NJSA 48:11-5. Paul Rickey, AICP, AICP, PP of Ritchie Planning, 170 Monmouth Avenue, Atlantic Heights, New Jersey, possesses the requisite education, experience, and licensure to provide the services at a cost of $135 an hour, not to exceed $5,000. The anticipated contract will run from July 1, 2025 through December 31st, and funds are available on account 501-219-205, which has been certified. Chief Financial Officer Paul Rickey has completed and submitted the business entity disclosure certification, which certifies that they may have not made any reportable contributions to a political or candidate committee in the Township of Nutley in the previous 1 year, and that the contract will prohibit them from making any reportable contributions through the term of the contract. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley County of Essex, State of New Jersey, authorizes the mayor and municipal clerk to enter into a contract on a non-fair and open basis in accordance with NJSA 48:11-5 with Ritchie Planning at the stated rate of $135 an hour, not to exceed $5,000. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye.
My last one is be resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley. The treasurer is hereby authorized to refund overpayments of water charges in the amount of $431.51 for block 3303, lot 8. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye. I'm done.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Tucci?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Whereas NJSA 48:4-87 provides that the Director of the Division of Local Government Services may approve the insertion of any special item in the budget of any county or municipality when such item shall have been made available by law and the amount thereof was not determined at the time of the adoption of the budget. Whereas said Director may also approve the insertion of any item appropriation for equal amount. And Section 1, now therefore be it resolved, the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey,
hereby request the Director of Division of Local Government Services to approve the insertion of an item of revenue in the budget of the year 2025 in the sum of $1,211,000, which item is now available as a revenue from the Urban Parks Grant pursuant to the provisions of statute. Section 2, be it further resolved that a like sum of $1,211,000 be and same is hereby appropriated under the caption of General Appropriations, A, Operations Excluded from CAPS, Urban Parks Grant, Father Glassback Park Improvement Project, Other Expenses, $1,211,000. Be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution will be electronically filed with the Director for approval as required by law. This is for the upgrade of the girls' softball field at Father Glotzback Park that abuts Grant Avenue. I move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
Whereas DMR Architects, 777 Terrace Avenue, Suite 607, Hasbrook Heights, has been awarded a non-fair and open contract pursuant to the provision of NJSA 19:44A20.5 to acquire specialized professional services for 1 Kennedy Drive conceptual design through construction administration for the public open space fronting Chestnut Street, and whereas the Director of Parks and Public Property has recommended the following change order from said contract. Change order number 1 for conceptual design in the amount of $81.51, and whereas the funds are available from account 5-01502-299, and has been certified by the Chief Financial Officer, said certification being attached to this resolution, now therefore being resolved by Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that change order number 1 in the amount of $81.54 be and is hereby approved. I move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
That's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Scarpelli?
Whereas NJSA 48-4-87 provides the Director of Division of Local Government Services may approve the insertion of any special item in the budget of any county or municipality when such items shall have been made available by law and the amount thereof was not determined at the time of the adoption of the budget, whereas the Director may also approve the insertion of any item of appropriation for equal amount. And Section 1, now therefore be resolved that the Board of Commissioners of Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, hereby requests the Director of Division of Local Government Services to approve the insertion of an item of revenue in the budget for the year 2025 in the amount of $200,000, which is now available as a revenue from the CDBG grant pursuant to the provisions of statute. Be further resolved that a like sum of $200,000 be the same is hereby appropriated under the caption of General Appropriations, Operation Excluded from the cap, $200,000. Be further resolved that a copy of this resolution be electronically filed with the Director for approval as required by law. I move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
This is also for an insertion in the budget. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, hereby request Director of the Division of Local Government Services to approve the insertion of an item of revenue in the budget of the year 2025 in the amount of $37,408.26, which item is now available as revenue from the Recycling Tonnage Grant pursuant to the provisions of the statute. Be it further resolved that a like sum of $37,408.26 being the same is hereby appropriated under the caption of General Appropriations, Operation Excluded from the CAPS, the amount of $37,408.26. Be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution will be electronically filed with the Director for approval as required by law. Move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
That's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Petracco?
Yes, this is Resolution 167-25. I'll read it from Section 1. Now, therefore, it be resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, New Jersey, hereby request the Director of Division of Local Government Services to approve the insertion of an item of revenue in the budget of year 2025 in the amount of $7,000, which item is now available as revenue from the Clicket and Ticket grant pursuant to the provisions of the statute. Be it further resolved that a like sum of $7,000 be the same and is hereby appropriated under the caption of General Appropriations, Operation Excluded from the CAPS, Clicket or Ticket 2025 Seatbelt Mobilization Grant, other expenses, $7,000. Be further resolved that the copy of the resolution will be electronically filed with the director, approved and required by law. Move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Thank you. Step down for a second.
Okay. Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
This one's 168-258. Whereas now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, New Jersey, hereby request the Director of Local Division Government Services to approve the insertion of an item revenue in the budget 2025 of $50,485.95, which item is now available in revenue from the COPS grant FY24 Technology and Equipment Program pursuant the provisions of the statute. Be further resolved that a like sum of $50,485.95 be in the same as hereby appropriated under the caption of General Appropriations Operations included from the CAPS, COPS grant FY24 Technology and Equipment Program, other expenses $50,485.95. Be further resolved that the copy of the resolution will be electronically filed with the director approval as required by law. New resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli? Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
Okay, 169-25, therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, New Jersey, hereby request the Director of Division of Local Services Government to approve insertion of the revenue in the budget 2025, sum of $10,500, which item is now available as Revenue Municipal Alliance Grant pursuant to provisions of statute. Be further resolved that a like sum of $10,500 be in the same as hereby appropriated under the caption General Appropriations, Appropriations including CAPES, County Division of Community Health Services, Municipal Alliance, other expenses $10,500. Be further resolved that the sum of $2,065 representing the amount required from the municipality share of aforementioned grant appears under 2025 budget and the budget appropriation matching funds for grants and is hereby appropriated to the Municipal Alliance grant. And here be it further resolved that the notification of these budget charges will be made by the Chief Financial Officer, Director of Division of Local Government Services through the electronic submission process. I move it.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye. And Madam Clerk, can you mark me yes on the resolutions I missed, please? Thank you.
Yes. Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
Not to be redundant, if I could just read briefly, this is Resolution 178-25. This is for national opioid settlement. This is in the amount of $20,759.20. I'll move it as written.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
Whereas the Township of Nutley Police Department need to acquire proprietary software for the purpose of hiring police officers through police app, and whereas the use of police app located at 5 Brookside Drive, Wallingford, Connecticut, that is, increases efficiency through the hiring process of police officers in the Nutley Police Department. And whereas NJSA 48115D permits the award of the contract without public bidding for the provisions of proprietary software. Whereas the terms of the contract shall be for a period of 2 years with an option for 1 year extension. Upon expiration of the initial term, the contract will automatically renew for subsequent prior to non-renewal starting July 1st, 2025 through June 30th, 2026. The yearly contract shall not exceed $25,000. Now, therefore, it be resolved by the Board of Commissioners and the Township of Nutley and the County of Essex that a contract be awarded police app in form approved by the Township Attorney. And that's all I see, so I'll move it as is.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
Always fresh.
Thank you, Commissioner. I have a few on for this evening. Resolution number 17025, and a similar Chapter 159 insertion of a special item in the 2025 budget of the Public Affairs, the NJACCHO grant sustaining local public health infrastructure for a total of $24,951. I move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye. We have a resolution number 17125, a raffle license application has been received from John H. Walker Middle School PTO. Off premises 50-50 cash raffle, Sunday, December 7th, 2025. Whereas the application has been reviewed and approved by the municipal clerk and the police department, and therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey. The aforementioned license hereby approved by the municipal clerk, and she is authorized to issue said licenses. I move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye. Whereas the Township of Nutley has applied for a grant in the amount of $3,500 through Green Good Food Bucks Program, which funds will be used to offset the cost of reimbursements to vendors in the Nutley Farmers Market that participate in the Senior Farmer Market Nutrition Voucher Double Coupon Program. This program awards eligible patrons an additional $25 in Nutley Farmer Market coupons to purchase fresh fruits and vegetables in conjunction with the State Farmer Market Nutrition Program vouchers through the County of Essex. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Mayor and Commissioners of the Township of Nutley in the County of Essex, State of New Jersey, formally approves the grant application for the City Green Good Food Bucks Program for the 2025 season. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye. The next one I read on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners, it's Resolution Number 18025. It's a resolution of the Township Commissioners of the Township of Nutley authorizing the engagement of Inglesino, Webster, Wickescala, and Taylor, LLC's counsel for the Township of Nutley concerning legal matters with respect to On-3 redevelopment area. This is specified professional services rendered and performed by persons authorized to practice law. The performance of said professional service requires knowledge and advanced type in the field of learning acquired by prolonged formal course of specialized study. Inglesino, Webster, Wickescala, Taylor, located at 600 Parsippany Suite, 604 Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054, submitted a proposal to render these services at an hourly rate of $2.95 beginning July 1st, 2025 through December 31st, 2025. And pursuant to this resolution, shall not exceed $50,000 in the aggregate, whereas funds are available for this purpose from account number 5-01-012-205, subject to the adoption of the 2025 municipal budget, which I think we adopted. Certificate of availability funds has been filed with the Chief Financial Officer of the Township in accordance with local budget law. Whereas Inglesino, Webster, Wickescala, Taylor has completed the submitted a business entity disclosure certification, which certifies that the firm have not made any disqualifying reportable contribution to Bill Canada or Canada Committee in the Township of Nutley for the previous 1 year that would violate the New Jersey statute annotated Title 19, 44A, 20.5. For the township's local unit pay-to-play ordinance adopted by a referendum and any relevant executive orders to New Jersey Election Law Enforcement Commission disclosure requirements, that the contract will bar Inglesino, Webster, Wickescala, Taylor from making any reportable contributions to the term of the contract. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley County of Essex that the accordance with local public contracts law hereby authorizes the mayor and municipal clerk to enter into a professional services contract with the firm of Inglesino, Webster, Wickescala, and Taylor, LLC, an hourly rate of $2.95, not to exceed $50,000 in the aggregate. Be it further resolved that the business entity disclosure and business entity disclosure of campaign contributions shall be placed on file with this resolution, and be further resolved that a copy of this resolution shall be published as required by law within 10 days of its passage. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Just a point. It's Inglesino and Taylor now.
Okay.
This needs to be updated. And I think, Mayor, you referred to that. We already adopted the budget.
Right.
So funds are available.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right.
I'll make those changes on the resolution. Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye. The last one I have on this evening is resolution number 18225, whereas the New Jersey Department of Treasury Division of Taxation has provided tax clearance certificates and said licensees are qualified to be licensed according to all standards established by the New Jersey Statute Sanitation Title 33 and regulations promulgated thereunder, as well as pertinent local ordinance and conditions consistent with Title 33 for each establishment listed below for this renewal period. Or these establishments have been inspected by the Board of Health, Fire Department, Code Enforcement Department, and Police Department of the Township of Nutley and are in satisfactory condition, and therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that the renewal for the plenary retail consumption licenses, plenary retail distribution licenses, and club license be granted to the following licensees effective July 1st, 2025 through this June 30th, 2026. Be further resolved that the municipal clerk is hereby authorized to sign and issue said licensees for the period of licensing, for the said license certificates for the licensing period of July 1st, 2025 through June 30th, 2026 for the licensees listed in the resolution. So moved.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Abstain. Mr. Bruno, I believe we have a need for another closed executive session.
Yes, Mayor, we do have a need to go into closed session to discuss matters that are of attorney-client privilege.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion for executive.
Move it.
Whereas Section 8 of the Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Public Law 1975, permits the exclusion of the public from meeting in certain circumstances, and whereas the public body is of the opinion that such circumstances exist, and whereas the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley and the County of Essex and State of New Jersey desires to proceed to close executive session, now therefore be it resolved that the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, move into close executive session to discuss attorney-client privilege. Be it further resolved that at the time when such discussions may be disclosed to the public shall be when and such disclosures may be made without adversely affecting the Township, pending and or anticipated legal, personnel, contractual matters, and other matters within the exceptions provided for by statute. This resolution shall take effect immediately. Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye. And we won't be conducting any more business this evening.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco? Aye. Mayor Kelly?
All right, the next meeting will be July 15th at 7 p.m.
And the time is now 10:28.